It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them, right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
The gig economy workers that lose out when they file for unemployment. I'm David Brancaccia. We're awaiting the last week's count of the number of people who filed for state unemployment benefits. We're expecting another 2.5 million people signed up to be added to the 33 million laid off people who filed since lockdowns began. Others have tried and failed to file because of red tape and overwhelmed systems. And there's this. Some are getting less money simply because of how their work is classified. Marketplace's Nova Safo has been looking into this. Nova, what's the catch?
Right. So as we know, Congress shored up the unemployment system by making gig workers eligible for benefits through the PUA, Pandemic Unemployment Assistance. Before that, you needed a traditional job with an employer and a W-2 to get unemployment insurance or UI benefits. Well, a lot of gig workers have some W-2 income, could be part-time or temporary. And if they do, they're ending up in the traditional system with only their limited W-2 earnings and none of their self-employment income used to determine what their unemployment insurance benefit amount should be. I spoke with Jennifer Kogan, a San Francisco-based tango instructor. Here's what this has meant for her.
So if I was eligible clearly for PUA, I would qualify for $386 a week. And if I am forced onto regular UI, I qualify for $87 a week.
Yeah, so that's a big difference, David.
Any effort to fix this?
There are rumblings in Washington. I spoke with Indy Dudagupta. He co-directs the Georgetown Law School Center on Poverty and Inequality.
The right approach would be for Congress to step in and say, look, states should look at a worker's income regardless of the source.
So there are conversations happening now in Congress and among experts to see if they can come up with a legislative fix.
Nova, thank you. Markets London's FTSE is down 2.4% after the S&P 500 here fell 1.8% yesterday. S&P and Dow futures are down 0.2% now. An employee has filed a class action lawsuit against United Airlines over unpaid days during the pandemic. It's about non-union management and admin people. The contention is the company forced 20 unpaid days off. That violates the terms of the federal aid United got to keep people on payrolls. United took money with the condition that it not cut jobs or pay rates before the end of September. United says the claim has no merit. There's the medical detective story of how we got into this pandemic crisis, and there's the public policy detective story. Marketplace's documentary podcast, The Uncertain Hour, has just launched a new season called A History of Now, with fresh episodes out even as we speak. The host, Chrissy Clark, joins us. Hiya, Chrissy.
Hey, David.
So, The History of Now, that's about what, historical context for what we're living through?
Yeah. So in the middle of this pandemic, think about even the most mundane moments, like an Amazon worker delivering a package or a grocery store clerk ringing someone up. There are so many things happening right now that are these reminders that some people are taking pretty serious risks that other people don't have to take. And so in this pop-up season, we're going to talk about how that happened, how we got some of the inequalities that the virus is throwing into the spotlight. We're going to go back to history to understand things like why unemployment insurance works the way it does, where the holes in the safety net come from, how essential workers seem to lack what seem like pretty essential protections.
All of which contribute to this catch-22 jam that people are now placed in.
Right. Take this guy, Tice Moore, who we talked to. He lost his job as an Airbnb handyman because of the pandemic. And since then, he's been debating whether he should take a job at a grocery store, which, of course, would really increase his risk of catching COVID.
I still have family that are very susceptible to this, and I don't want to bring this around them. But at the end of the day, if I have to put myself in danger just to get food on the table, then that's what's going to happen. I don't have another choice.
And when you hear him talking, you're kind of reminded that there are some people who are going to come out of this crisis okay, and some people who are not. And there are reasons for that built into our economy and into our policy. Who has a financial safety net and who doesn't? Who can work from home and who can't? Who has access to unemployment insurance? Who doesn't? So we're going to look at some of those things.
And in your podcast episode one, you're going to go out to buy chicken. You're going to follow the chicken.
Yeah. So as you know, there's been some rationing on chicken. And what we do is follow that up the chain to workers who are largely Black and Latino, who catch and slaughter chickens. And we learn along the way how few protections those workers have. And their stories help to bring to life these disturbing data points that are starting to come into focus, like, for example, that in many areas, Black and Latino people are more likely than white people to be essential workers, and they're more likely to die from COVID. Mm.
And we've been hearing from some top economists thinking about what this pandemic does to economic inequality over time.
If you look at history, it's a mixed bag. Sometimes it prompts a radical reordering of the economy that makes things more equal. And sometimes the gap between rich and poor just widens. And so we'll be looking at history and policy to help us understand which way we might go this time.
Marketplace's Chrissy Clark, thank you.
Thank you so much, David.
It's kind of wild that Chrissy's had a podcast with that title, The Uncertain Hour, years before any COVID-19. Take a listen to The Uncertain Hour wherever you get your podcasts. And for the next 6 weeks, you can read lessons from Chrissy's show in our Econ Extra Credit newsletter. Look for Econ Extra Credit at marketplace.org/newsletters. We are from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.